We all know the big game can get pretty unpredictable, which is why you need a connection that is anything but to watch it. With the Xfinity 10G network, you get the reliable connection you need to stream your favorite sports, from football to football, everything in between. Catch it all on the network made for streaming. Treat yourself to front row seats to all the games and get way more into all the sports you're into when you stream on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
All right, welcome back, collectors, to another episode of Kane Collects. Before I get to my next guest, I do a little housekeeping. I want to do a mailbag episode coming up. So if you have any questions, any topics you want me to hit, any guests you want me to pursue, anything like that, please email me, kangcollects@gmail.com. That's K-H-A-N-G, collects@gmail.com. Like I said, I'm open to any ideas. Talk about anything collectibles. Doesn't have to be sports cards. It could be sports memorabilia, you know, comics, Funko Pops, coins, whatever, guitars. If you can collect it, records, I'll talk about it. All right, so without further ado, my next guest, someone I've spoken to before. We've spoken about an awesome pair of shoes that he owns, and there's an update on that. And now a new acquisition he has, too. He's a high-end collector, also loves sports cards as well. Lou Papa, One Memorabilia, thanks for joining me, man. Thanks for coming on the podcast, Lou.
Gang, thank you for having me back. It's good to see you, brother.
Good to see you. We missed each other at National this past year in Chicago. I know you had some family obligations to hit up, so hopefully I can see you in Cleveland coming up, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it didn't line up for the National this year. My wife's parents had their 50th wedding anniversary. So it was one of those things that, unless I wanted to end up in divorce court, you know, I was all in on going to the family vacation. So I hope to see y'all in Cleveland for sure.
Absolutely, man. I can't wait. And I'm married with two little kids, so I know happy wife, happy life. It's a real thing, people. So some things aren't worth, the trouble. So it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Now it's like, how do you, hey, babe, like, what's more important? Oh, it's the biggest card show in the, in the space for, for the year or whatever. And then it's like, they're my parents.
So, but like I said, the first thing I did want to talk to you about was an update. I talked to you when I had you on before. We spoken about a pair of Michael Jordan's NBA Finals game worn shoes that you acquired. Let me tell the people a little bit about it before you give us the update and a little background on the shoes. These shoes were worn by Michael Jordan in the 1991 NBA Finals. They have a significant story behind it. I'll let you share that. Those shoes were gifted by Michael Jordan to Sonny Vaccaro, who was, if you watch the movie Air, you know that he is a big name in the sneaker amateur basketball world, a big part of Michael Jordan signing with Nike and that whole backstory. Sonny was left out of the Last Dance series by ESPN, felt very hurt by that. And so he was so hurt, he decided to take those shoes that was gifted to him from Michael Jordan and put them up for auction. And that was a win for Lou Papa, my friend here, because Lou got those shoes. And like I said, I'll let you tell people a little bit about those shoes and why they're so special.
No, I appreciate it. And thank you for the interest. For your audience, if there's anybody out there that isn't completely familiar with Sonny, there's a great 30 for 30 on ESPN called Soul Man. And, it tells his entire backstory of how he came up, basically the teacher, high school teacher, and then became one of the most prominent names in college basketball, after he got hired by Nike. So I think, you guys would like that if you're looking for something to watch. And then, he also was in another documentary called One Man in His Shoes. And he actually shows this pair of the pair that Michael gave him somewhere around like the 17, 18 minute mark. So it's kind of cool, just for the audience to be able to like physically see what it is that we're talking about right now. So
Sonny Vaccaro is a very influential person in amateur basketball and in the shoe business for sure. And check those out if you don't know.
Yep. And then, like you said, in the movie Air, pretty much tells the entire story of how he and, three or four other guys brought Michael to Nike. There is no Air Jordan. There is no anything that we're familiar with today, without Sonny. So, so without further ado, it as it related to the shoe itself, Yeah, Michael wore these shoes in game four of the 91 final. So this was his first championship. And what had happened was in game three, the series was tied 1-1 and Michael came down, hit a jump shot with like 5-6 seconds left in the game to tie it and push it to overtime. But when he landed kind of funny and then he got stepped on. So he wound up with like a toe injury. The Bulls went on to win in overtime and go up 2-1, but then Michael couldn't practice in between games three and four. And then he was still having a problem with the pressure in the shoes. So to try to alleviate that and give him a little more flexibility, he took an X-Acto knife and cut this big hole right in the toe box of the shoe. And, you know, to alleviate pressure. And, you know, if you go on to YouTube and, you know, and you're kind of just watching, you know, like if you Google, if you YouTube the 91 game four, you'll see like Ahmad Rashad, Bob Costas talking about the injury. And then they show Michael walking onto the court. And you can see his white socks popping right through the shoe, right through the toe box.
Yeah, it's like a 2-inch slit right by the toe. It's like you said, to alleviate, because the toe had swollen up or it was just too much pressure. So you needed some less pressure.
Yeah, so this is so that exact pair is what he gave to Sonny after Sonny was let go from Nike. So Michael had somebody leave these for Sonny at his hotel room. And then I don't think at the time, immediately at the time, I don't think Sonny recognized what they were. Like, from what I understand, is I don't think he realized that they were final shoes, you know, until years later, you know. And then it was his intention to keep these. He, you know, he said he was going to pass them down to his grandkids. But then, as you just pointed out, Kang, you know, like then The Last Dance came out in 2020, and then Michael, you know, and the ESPN team left Sonny out in terms of the storyline of how Michael got to Nike. So Sonny kind of said that was like the, you know, broke his heart, of like the straw that broke the camel's back. And then what happened was he actually sent them to auction, and he picked Sotheby's to auction the shoes through. And what happened was, Whenever that auction was, the shoes actually didn't get paid for. So I wasn't the winner at the Sotheby's auction. And then after they didn't get paid for, the shoes went to Golden Auctions. And then there was like a reserve on the shoe, I think probably around the price that they had, you know, hammered for at Sotheby's. So anyway, as it turns out, I was the high bidder in the Golden Auction, but it didn't hit the reserve. So what happened was, I think Ken Golden and Sonny just, you know, they spoke and they were like, well, we know who the buyer is, he'll pay. And then, so I think they just worked it out where maybe they lowered the seller commission or something like that. And Sonny's like, fine, you know, like, I'll take it as is, because this guy will 100% pay. And then the rest is history, you know. So like, you know, I've owned the shoes for like 2.5 years now, you know, and it's definitely a really nice pride and ownership kind of story.
Yeah, those are awesome shoes. I mean, like I said, it's already Michael Jordan game worn. It's NBA Finals. And then there's a story behind it, because the slit in the toe and everything like that he was, you know, injured. And then on top of that, he gives it to Sonny, who's one of the most influential, you know, people in amateur basketball, shoes. And then you end up with it. So there's so many layers and levels to those shoes. I think that it's an amazing piece of memorabilia to own. Now, the reason I brought it up is because there is an update on that. And what's the update, Lou?
Yeah, so this is kind of exciting. And, you know, just to further piggyback off what you were saying, I do feel pretty unworthy to own these after, you know, after you just went through the level of provenance and ownership of where they came from. I'm like, I'm the wrong guy.
No, but you're a Jordan enthusiast, so it's not like you're just some guy anyway, right?
No, it's true. It's just kind of funny, you know, like when you start backstory in the movies and this, I'm like, I don't know, you know. But what we did since then is to try to, you know, just sort of tie up any potential loose ends. So what I did was I sent the shoes to two different photo match companies. And for your audience, photo matching would be very similar to grading, you know, grading cards. So, you know, there's really four major photo match companies, which would be similar to the four major grading companies, you know, and so my grade would be kind of like your guys' PSA. So I sent them to them, and then another group called Davios Sports, and both came back with successful photo matches to that moment in time, you know, that I felt very confident it was, you know, what I thought it was. But you know, like it just, it's one of those things where you just have to be very careful with what you're representing, especially with, you know, Jordan and high end Jordan. Cause, you know, sometimes there are autographs that, you know, come back in unauthentic, and you just don't want to have any potential problems down the road, you know, if I ever did sell these. So I'm really excited to announce that, you know, both my gray and Davios both gave us a confirmed photo match, you know, with a nice little video to boot, you know, that kind of shows, you know, the photo match plus a little bit of the 8 to 10 seconds of the clip of like Ahmad and Bob Klotz is talking about it. So it's really pretty neat. So if anybody wanted to see that, you know, they can certainly jump to our Instagram page and take a look. It's a quick look, 15, 20 seconds.
But it's awesome because it shows, I mean, real time that what was going on back then with those shoes. And then the fact that, you know, like you said, you got it, you know, photo match, game match by two other companies, you know, one of the two leading companies in this industry. It's like double stamps what you kind of, you know, obviously already knew what you had, but crosses any extra T's, dots any extra I's, and completely validates that, hey, these are those shoes. Now, to people listening, why would someone... what's the point of photo matching it? I mean, how much extra value would that add to things like that? I know you can't put an exact number on it, but you know, why is that so important, I guess?
I think it's two reasons, right? I mean, and one, you know, again, just to kind of go back to the grading theme, you know, because I know that your audience is are good card collectors and things like that, so they can appreciate this. But, you know, you guys, you know, you can understand, you know, like, especially in like the 90s, you know, there are a lot of those, you know, backdoored and fake cards, like the, you know, like the 90s inserts and the PMGs and the rubies and stuff like that were, you know, they were kind of messed around with. And, you know, and some of the grading companies have gotten it wrong, you know, and then things come back as fake. And then you have to go take it to somewhere else and, you know, try to do all that. So the really cool part about photo matching when it's, you know, when it can be done is that it takes you to a very exact moment in time, you know, a very specific game. You know, they have pictures that, you know, that really conclusively identify, okay, this shoe, this jersey, you know, is right to here. And it's important because then people can really feel confident in what they own or what they're about to buy, especially if it's a, you know, more of a significant high end piece. Like if you're going to spend, you know, something crazy, like, I don't know, $500K or $1 million, you know, I think the Flu Game shoes did like $1.4 million, you know, or something like that. So if you're going to spend that kind of money, you want to be pretty darn sure, you know, that it's exactly what it's advertised as.
Yeah. So I mean, that's my next question was going to be like someone out there, like most of our listeners, my listeners are not going to, you know, be able to afford or invest in something that high end. But what if it was something a lot lower end, you know, like here in Detroit, where I'm broadcasting from, what if Cade Cunningham throws up his wristband or jersey or takes off his shoes and throws it to you and while he's walking off the court? Now, is that something, or do you wait, you know, how valuable does something have to be before you photo match it? Or is it something where like, hey, you should just get a photo match anyways, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Can you just educate us?
Yeah. Oh, look, it's a great question. And look, I mean, and Cade's the man, right? I mean, he is,
well, we hope so here.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think we were all bummed, you know, that he got hurt last year, you know, just because he really appears to be that special talent. And now he's got Monty, you know, to guide the team. So that's cool. But anyway, you know, like these guys, you know, it's one thing, like if you have a jersey from any random Tuesday night game, you know, like it is what it is, but like, what if it was a game from like Cade's first ever triple double, you know, or if it was a playoff game, you know, or something like that. You know, like everybody now remembers, you know, just because it's sometimes they make fun of him. But remember when Patrick Beverley went crazy when the T-Wolves won the play-in game?
Yes, yeah.
So, like, you know, but that's a moment in time. You know, like, now, yeah. Look, Patrick Beverley isn't Michael Jordan. He's not Cade Cunningham. But if somebody said to me, like, hey, that's pretty cool. Like, he threw his jersey into the crowd, right? I mean, so, like, if you caught it that night, you know, and then you got them to sign it and then you get it photo matched. Like if you're a T-Wolves fan, that's pretty darn memorable. You know, and if Cade winds up having like this Hall of Fame oriented type career, like if you get something from him early in his career, you know, that's memorable, maybe it's his first game or, you know, his first 30-point game or something like that. You know, like that's where, you know, the multiple adds up. Everybody remembers the Flu Game, right? He didn't even have the flu, but they call it the Flu Game. They're the Flu Game shoot. So that's really where the multiplier comes from. Like if you have you know, something where it's very memorable. And especially if it's from a popular player, I mean, you know, good gosh, the sky's the limit. I mean, Kobe's first jersey from his rookie year did like $3.5 million. And it was only estimated to do like 500K. So, you know, there must have been two huge Kobe collectors, two huge Laker collectors, and they punched it out of the morning in that auction because it was specifically photo matched. They knew exactly what game it was from. And, you know, and then there's not any more of those. You know, that's the beauty, you know, of memorabilia too, is like there are no other Sonny V shoes, you know, like there are no other game four shoes, you know. So, you know, if you guys are pretty bullish on Cade, and I don't see why you wouldn't. I mean, I think he's terrific, you know, just from, you know, eyeballing and watching the Pistons periodically. Like, hey, if you guys make the playoffs this year, you know, maybe somebody gets his first ever playoff jersey.
Yeah, I mean, game U stuff is crazy. Like, to me, that's so cool. The fact that, like, you saw, obviously, a post-pandemic, things got crazy with sports cards. And mm-hmm. the fact that cards, like just straight basketball cards, you could pack, pull, were going more than things that were players wore in games was blowing my mind. I'm like, what's going on here? But, I mean, that's the way we are. I mean, it's like whatever's desirable, whatever, you know, it's, you know, whatever people like and wants popular, it gets, tends to, the value goes up. And maybe that's not the way it should be because, like I said, something game worn. That's crazy. Sticking with the card theme, they used to have game worn pieces of jerseys and warmups and shorts. To me, that did matter because nowadays it's like they go to, you know, any sporting goods store and cut up a jersey and put it in a card. To me, it's not the same. It's not, I mean, to think about it, like you know, I collect Michael Jordan cards and I look, and because back then he was, you know, Upper Deck owned a lot of that stuff, now Panini, and they did game worn stuff. And I look and I go, wow, that little piece of fabric on that card was worn by Michael Jordan. And I got that card for like $40 or, you know, before it went crazy. Like, to me, that's awesome. Instead of other people are, you know, they neglect it. I think game worn is a huge industry. And obviously the high end stuff is going to go crazy. But do you feel like game worn things are going to even get better as we move forward? Or, you know, where do you see that part of the collecting hobby going?
I think I do think that you're, you know, sort of best of the best pieces, you know, type of things will continue to move higher. I think as a word of caution, you know, for your audience, I don't think you want to buy, you know, just any random jersey from any random Tuesday night game, you know, or any random pair of sneakers.
Unless you're just going to PC that basically, right? Like you just want, like you're a big fan of Patrick Beverly, like you said, or whoever, right?
Like, totally beat me to the punch. Yes, because that's what the thing, like, you know, I think we should all try to, you know, collect what you love, you know, and do the best that you can and, you know, build a collection that you just enjoy looking at and talking about and things like that. But look, you know, at the end of the day, some pieces cost more than others, you know, and you're hoping, you know, that you can get a return, you know, on some of the things that you acquire. So, you know, when you start putting those pieces into your, you know, into your PC, you know, that's where something like a photo match, you know, is important to have, just because to your point with, you know, a piece of jersey and a card, like, I mean, Upper Deck might say, you know, that it's game worn, but you don't really know. I mean, you're taking their word for it.
You're taking their word for it. Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas like with a photo match, like you literally get the photo, you know, of here's what it is. And they start putting the little circles around it and they're like, look, this thread is pulled, you know, this is off. And that's how they get it. So, you know, and then, you know, you see the discrepancy in the premiums from between like player worn and game worn, you know, in cards, right? I mean, you know, I think even card guys now are like NT, not really that cool. Like when you really look at it, it's like the Luka cards, right? I mean, he's in an 88 jersey. He doesn't wear 88. And he does, you know, like it's not game worn. Like, you know, I mean, it's like a photo shoot.
Yeah.
Kind of fun.
Yeah.
But you know, you guys being in Detroit, like, if you Google some of the big sales, like Ty Cobb stuff goes for millions of dollars, like just like bats and gloves. And like, I mean, because the supply is so limited. And obviously, I mean, he's the all time batting average. I mean, like I know Pete Rose is quote unquote the hit king, but you know, Ty Cobb is everything when it comes to hitting, like a 367 lifetime batting average or something crazy. And, you know, 4191 hits or something like that. I mean, so, you know, when you see his stuff, I mean, they just go for millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. And then we just had a legend here retiring, Miguel Cabrera, which I feel is really, he's almost like, to me, it's another topic in itself, just undervalued players of our time, or, you know, of our modern time. Maybe it's because he's not American, or maybe, you know, Detroit's not, you know, New York or LA, but I think Miguel Cabrera, with what he's done, Triple Crown, the hits, I mean, arguably, debatably, to a lot of people, best right-handed hitter of all time. He just retired. I mean, I've got a, it's not game used, but I've got, you know, a, autographed jersey from him. He's got the accolades on there and everything that he wrote up, but that's a PC thing for me. It wasn't an investment. Yeah. I think he's really undervalued. And cause you mentioned Ty Cobb's that's a different stratosphere, but you know, I think Miguel Cabrera was a guy that people, I think, collect a lot around here.
I think so too. And I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I think a guy like Cabrera and Pujols, for that matter, will age well as time goes along, because I mean, how many years was it between the last Triple Crown and Cabrera's? And I mean, how many more years before it'll be done again? Over 3,000.
No one cares about average anymore, right?
Right. No, right. I mean, to hit 50, you know, 45, 50 homers and lead the league in run RBIs. I mean, it's just, I don't see it being done maybe ever again, unless the game goes back to, you know, more of a smaller ball. But yeah, I mean, like, if you look at his accolades, you know, World Series champ, you know, MVP, I mean, he's got it all. So I would like to believe that if his stuff is, you know, like, not all over the place, you know, meaning that if the supply is not infinite, he should be a good collectible, because like, he's going to be one of like five guys that in all of baseball history that have his stats. So, and he did it, you know, clean, you know, compared to some of the others.
Yeah. And, he's one of those, like, if the writers weren't such, you know, jerks or whatever, he'd be in, you know, a Hall of Fame, like, unanimous, you know, not one guy's going to look at his resume and go, oh, you know, not next time, you got to wait a year or something like that. You know, like what, Jeter had everyone but one vote or something like that. Was Jeter the closest, or Mariano Rivera? I can't remember which one.
Rivera did it. He got 100%. Oh, okay. But yeah, Jeter missed. Yeah. He got like one or two like votes that didn't go in. And you're like, really? Like, what about his resume, like, is not Hall of Fame? Like, who doesn't put him in first ballot?
The championships, everything. And then Miguel should be the same way. Before I get to the main reason, actually, I got you on was just quick thoughts on Shohei Ohtani and his obviously, we never thought it was sustainable, let alone due to what he did. What about his memorabilia and jerseys and bats and shoes and things like that? What do you think about him as an investment piece?
I think with Shohei, it's just going to have to be one of those, like, just watch what you pay. You know, like, you don't want to, like, when he's going ballistic, like he was for parts of this year, you know, when he looked just unhuman, you know, you don't want to get caught up in the hype, you know? So I think you should just try to stick with, you know, memorable moments of his. Like, if he had, like, if you could get a jersey where he pitched and hit, and maybe had a home run, like a couple games, I think he had, you know, he got the win and hit a home run in the same game. Like, I mean, how many of those could there possibly be of any player ever? Right. I mean, you know, I'd imagine, you know, if somebody could somehow conclusively match a photo match of Babe Ruth jersey to a very specific game and say he did exactly this, you know, that would probably be one of the most valuable pieces you could ever have. But so I think with Shohei, my concern with current day players is how often they switch, you know, jerseys. I mean, like in the NBA, you have guys switching every half, some guys switch every quarter. You know, same thing with shoes. They're only wearing for, you know, so baseball is different, right? I mean, Ohtani's not switching out his cleats, you know, like every two innings or anything like that. But I would just say, try to look for, you know, meaningful things that he did, as opposed to like, hey, you know, I got an Ohtani jersey and I paid $20,000 and he went 1 for 5, you know, and like the one hit was like a single. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I don't think long term, I don't think that will appreciate.
No, that's good advice. So sticking with jerseys and things like that, like I said, the main reason I brought you on was you have something pretty, pretty damn awesome. I know you're a big Jordan, Michael Jordan collector, Jordan enthusiast, but you're an investor as well. And this is a great investment. Feel like anything Michael Jordan's pretty safe for the most part, right? So why don't you tell the people what you were recently able to put together?
Yeah, thank you. I think so too, you know, as it relates to Jordan. I mean, I'm trying to put my money where my mouth is, you know, from time to time, but this one, you know, really I can attribute this to, you know, again, sort of the theme of tonight is sort of this power of photo matching. So I guess about a year and a half ago, I acquired like a full uniform, but I'll call it sort of like a Frankenstein uniform because the jersey and the shorts were matched to different games. So, but I still thought it was cool, you know, to have one. Cause I was like, I don't know, there's just not that many of them. And you know, it's from Last Dance season. So I thought that was pretty interesting. So what I did was I took the jersey and the shorts and sent them back, you know, to the different companies and had them rematch it to see if they could find any other games. And as it turned out, on the when the shorts came back, there were three additional games that were found by one of the photo match companies. So the shorts now have been matched to 9 games, and 6 of them were playoff games. So one of these three new dates became the Eastern Conference semifinal game 3 against the Hornets. And if you watch The Last Dance, it's like the it's the revenge game. I'll call it like MJ's revenge because they show BJ Armstrong talking all kinds of trash in game 2 of that series when he was on the Hornets and he was like kind of dancing around the Bulls bench and he had a big game and the Hornets won in Chicago to tie it up at 1. So then after that game is over, they go into the locker room and Jordan's sitting on, you know, sitting on like a table and he's got a cigar in his mouth and he's gripping a baseball bat. And he's talking about like, he's like, well, he's like, takes a real man, you know, to talk shit when it's, you know, when you're, you know, when the score's
down. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Down. He's like, you know, when you're up 5 or 6 points, anybody can talk. And then, you know, and then he proceeds to say, you know, something along the lines of, he's like, well, you know, I was expected to dominate this guy. And from that point forward, I did. So one of the new dates came back on the shorts to that game. And then as luck would have it, I was put in touch with another collector who actually had the jersey to that game. And I was trying to put a deal together with him and it just, we didn't quite get there. And then he wound up putting it in auction. And then same thing as the Sunny Shoes, the auction somehow for whatever reason didn't get paid for. So the guy came back to me and he was like, would you still want to do this? And I was like, yeah, but not at that, you know, not with the, you know, you're going to remove the 100K buyer's premium. You're going to remove the high bid and da, 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, but otherwise, you know, I'd be thrilled to do it because I really wanted to put together a full uniform. And so sure enough, long story short, the deal got done. And after a lot of, you know, back and forth, you know, the jersey got sent to me. And so now I have a full playoff uniform to that exact game, you know, to Eastern Conference semifinals game 3, which I like sort of affectionately refer to as like MJ's revenge. So now I'm, you know, and like the jersey signed and the really cool part is the shorts are signed. Like he doesn't really sign, you know, like you don't really see shorts signed too often and you certainly don't see full conclusively photo match playoff uniforms. So, you know, I had to sell like the other jersey. I had to sell Hank Aaron jersey, you know, that I had like a 50% ownership stake in. So I had to sell like 3 things to pay for this. And by the grace of God, you know, like everybody that helped out, it all sort of came together. And I got lucky. And so, you know, now I have it. And I'm pretty sure it's as close to the only one out there that it could possibly be.
So you have the shorts and the jersey. They're both signed and they're both been photo matched to that playoff game against the Hornets.
Correct. Yep.
That's amazing. that's honestly like it's no longer a Frankenstein uniform. You get the real thing, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was so lucky. I mean that I was able to find a buyer for the other jersey that I had, and then you know, and then it just sort of all came together, you know, like after I had acquired it, then I just got super lucky where, you know, the buyer came together for that jersey. And then somebody was interested in this Hank Aaron jersey that I had. So, you know, wound up being, you know, sort of like a net zero, you know, of cost, you know, between selling those two or whatever. So again, I narrowly avoided the divorce court, you know, because that would not have been a very popular decision in the household. So,
You mentioned that they're photo matched and everything like that. I know photo matching is kind of an inexact science, but these guys are the best of the best. I mean, how confident do you feel? I mean, obviously you feel pretty confident, but like, you just, you know, cause you know what they have to go through to kind of, I mean, we're not 1000% correct on everything. But I mean, they are the best of the best that you use, and you feel very satisfied with that, that you have a full game uniform.
I do. And look, I agree with you. I mean, like, look, mistakes are made. You know, there's been a couple recently, you know, where things have been made, but I will say, I think the game worn community is very similar to the card community, and they're very passionate. And if they see wrong, they'll point it out. Like we were, as a community, we were successful in calling out a bad match by one of the companies, maybe just a couple of months ago. So that was pretty cool. But this one, you know, it went through auction. You know, the description was there. The bidding pattern was normal. Everybody saw it, and nobody challenged it. So, and then when I got it, and then I got the paperwork with it, you know, everything lined up, and I knew who the seller was. He's very, very reputable. So that made me comfortable as well. This isn't a guy, I mean, he's got plenty of money. So like, he doesn't need this aggravation. But you know, hey, some guys still do weird things, but
yeah.
No, but I know it's good. And like I said, I had the shorts looked at by, all three companies, and now the jersey's been, you know, conclusively matched by two of the three. So maybe I'll send it over to the third one just for fun. But the problem is sometimes it gets expensive, you know, when you're talking about like, you know, a jersey that could cost $500,000, you know, yeah. Like it's just, you're like, all right, well, it already came with a match, so maybe I don't want to spend another $2,000, $3,000 or some odd dollars, you know, because sometimes it can be expensive. Like the Sunny shoes, to go through what I just did, I had to spend $4,000. Mm-hmm. But I thought that it was worth it, you know, just simply because of what they are. And I wanted to have all the best names behind it to make it the best possible shoe, because I think, like, as cool as the Flu Game shoes are, I do think that this story, because of the history, you know, with Sonny and MJ, I felt like it kind of deserved as much love and attention as it could get. And, you know, for a future investment, I figured like somebody else down the road might appreciate that as well.
No, absolutely. You're right. And if that, it increases the value of the shoe, then it's worth, like the juice is worth the squeeze of the extra $4,000 or whatever, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and only time will tell, but, you know, I felt like it couldn't hurt it. And, you know, you sometimes, you know, it's like, you guys, you know, like on your podcast, and you know, you've spoken about like card trimming and alteration and things like that, and you just want to be as sure as you can, you know, because if you're in this space, and you know, like here we are, you know, doing a podcast, and you know, there's going to be, you know, a bunch of viewers, you know, so you want to make sure that they're like, hey, you know, I saw this guy, and you know, I hope he's not full of you know yeah. What I'm saying?
Yep, yep. So this is going to sound weird, but like, so imagine this high end stuff, you don't just keep it, you know, above the fireplace or whatever. It goes to a vault or something like that, you know, but did you get to see the shorts and the jersey and feel it? Like, or did it get sent to you first before you sent it to where you want to feel comfortable?
Yes. Yes. I did have everything in hand, which was cool. I did a little video of it. I posted that on the Instagram as well. And then off to the vault it went.
Awesome. So this is going to be a super weird question, but I have this debate with other collectors in the office and my friends. Do you actually, is there a part of you that, or maybe you have, I don't know. Do you put on the jersey? Do you put on the shorts? Like, Michael Jordan wore this in a playoff game. Do you go, I got to wear it. I don't know. Or is that just like, hey, I can't risk this. This is going to downgrade the value. I mean, what's the, we settled our debate. Do you wear something like this one time before you put it away?
So on this, I would say no, but I will say that one time, and I had another collector really yell at me about this, but one time I had a pair of LeBron shoes, and they were a cool color. And what I liked about them was he wore them against the Sixers, you know, so I'm a big Philadelphia fan. And, you know, so that was part of the reason why I bought the shoes. And, you know, like, so when they come in and you're looking at them, like, holy crap, like, look at the size of his feet. And I did actually have my wife, you know, put her foot into that shoe, you know, like one time. And so I would say for your collectors, you know, we could probably get a 50-50 here. I think like on the super high end, it's really taboo. You know, you should probably white glove it, you know, yeah. Put it in, you know, and send it like you would to like the dry cleaners kind of thing, like make sure it's packed right. And send it on its way. But you know, for something that's like, and this was when I was saying earlier, like a run of the mill Tuesday night game. That's what these, the LeBron shoes were. So they weren't super expensive or anything like that. And she just got a kind of like a kick out of it. And, you know, she put her hand next to it and, you know, like, you know, his foot was like, you know, two times the size of her hand. So,
hilarious. It's like, hey, if you won the Pat Beverly jersey, you maybe put that on, recreate the whole scene, get up and take it off.
And look, you know, now P Bev is now a Sixer, you know, so like if I find that Wolves jersey somewhere, I probably would wear that.
That'd be awesome. That would be fantastic, man. Is there anywhere people can look at your collection, a website or just Instagram that you want to let them know about? So, I mean, because I know you're always looking for picking up things and maybe even looking for leads for other things that you're looking for.
Yes. Yeah. Yes to both. And we're, you know, we're all monochromed under. We are the one O-N-E memorabilia group.com is the website. And Instagram is just the one memorabilia group.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I tell you, people, Lou's got good stuff and he's looking for other good stuff as well. I know I saw this. You're in search of game used or game worn Larry Bird items or?
Larry Bird is it's probably next on the list, and I'd like to find a nice Mahomes jersey too. I think what I am is sort of like this super collector who likes to go in and out of projects. Maybe at some point, you know, I'll sell a bunch of the Jordan stuff, but then I'll dive into Bird, you know, or Magic or somebody like that. I like to kind of build a collection and kind of look at it and okay, I have everything from, or I have a piece of something from like every year of his career. You know, like those kinds of things are fun for me. Like that's how I enjoy it, even though it's still an investment.
No, absolutely. And yeah, you're right. But that investment can help feed, you know, the other investments and things like that. Sometimes it's the chase, you know, it's part of it. That's the fun part as collectors, whether it's cards or sports memorabilia or records or whatever it is, like finding it and, you know, being able to complete it. That's just an awesome feeling, you know. If you want to check out my social medias, Kang Collects, that's KHANG. I'm on Instagram. I post podcast links there, post Jordan cards that I PC and pick up, whether it's low end or higher end. I'm also on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it nowadays, is Kang Collects, KHANG. I'm going to be more active on Facebook, Kang Collects. I'm going to be posting YouTube stuff, Kang Collects as well. So just kind of getting it out there. I already mentioned the email earlier in the show. Lou, appreciate it, man. We're going to have you on again because sports memorabilia is something I'm very into. Not the crazy high-end stuff to be afforded, but I love talking about it. And you never know. If you pick up, like you said, if you get an early on a guy, maybe, like I said, I'll keep it local, a Sore Thompson or somebody, and you can get game, like his first game at LCA, and you had photo match jersey, and it's affordable now. You don't know what kind of player he's going to be down the road. So, I mean, this is still kind of like, you can still do this, you know? You don't have to go right after GOATs.
No, agreed. I mean, it's, you know, I 100% agree. And I think that's what is probably the most appealing part of both cards and memorabilia is, you know, I think people like to collect, you know, guys that they can kind of see, you know, on a day-to-day basis. You know, you'd mentioned Cade and, you know, Cade Cunningham and, I mean, sky could be the limit. You know, you guys are on the upswing. You know, like I said, I think you got a huge coaching upgrade and, you know, the draft picks are all in. So I don't know. Like, I think there's actual like expectations now in Detroit. So, you know, I'm eager to see it. But yeah, I think if you guys are looking at your prospects and these rookies and second year guys all day long, so you get a good feel for it. I would just say be careful because you guys know, you know, the percentages of a guy making it and having like a really great career and, you know, things like that. They're not super high, you know, but if you're right once,
you've kind of said it on this podcast too. And I'll say it again, cause I say it all the time, collect what you love, but also don't forget, collect what you can afford, you know? Right?
Yeah. I mean, you got to totally be good with that. Cause I like, the emotion has gotten the better of me a bunch of times, you know, where I've overspent because I had to have it and, you know, and it's cost me, you know, for sure. So,
absolutely.
You know, still licking my wounds on some things and other stuff, you know, you're like, okay, well, you can kind of see that it's trending in the right direction or what have you. So by no means am I an everyday expert, but, you know, I do like, you know, putting together collections and, you know, hopefully, you know, it continues to, you know, kind of pay off so you can kind of continue to do it. So, you know, if, if I ever sell anything in the Jordan world, then you'll see, I'll probably transition to Larry Bird. Like, that's probably what I'd like to do next.
That sounds like a very cool project. Well, once again, I want to thank Lou Papa from One Memorabilia. I'm going to have him on again. I want to thank everyone else for listening. If you enjoy the podcast, please let a friend or somebody know. You can find Kane Collects on Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, keep collecting.